Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I pride myself on short sermons. Now, lest you think that it's because I've studied this and wanted to see how people react, no, it's more youthful rebellion, because I sat on your side of the pew for many years with my beloved pastors who like to beat things right into the ground and then drive them in, and if you didn't get the point, they'd say it 10 different ways, and 30 minutes later, my eyes were crossed. So I vowed that I'd have short sermons. But I can't beat the sermon today. It was one of the shortest sermons recorded in the New Testament, and it was the first lady preacher. And she said the most wonderful, powerful words that are recorded in the Bible. She said, "I have seen the Lord." And isn't that what Easter's all about? We have seen the Lord. The first hymn we sang doesn't say Jesus Christ was risen 2,000 years ago, alleluia. It says Jesus Christ was risen today, alleluia. And the message of Easter is we have seen Jesus. Have you seen him lately? Did you see him in the hymns today? Did you see him in the children today? Did you see him as the bells were ringing today? Have you seen Jesus? Now, if you haven't, don't feel too bad, because Mary had him standing right in front of her blind eyes and she didn't see him. Sometimes we have to look very carefully to see Jesus. I went on a quest, much like Mary Magdalene a few years ago. It was 2010, and it was after Easter Sunday. You notice that every pastor gets out of Dodge right after Easter, because the next Sunday is really depressing. Because even though we tell people, you know, next Sunday there's still church, so many people go home, find other things to do. The choir doesn't want to sing. Nobody wants to be here. So we preachers don't want to be here either. So the week after Easter Sunday, I decided to take a road trip. And like Mary Magdalene, I was there to honor the dead. I went to a lovely place on the Blue Ridge Mountains where my parents had had a retirement home for many years. It was called Fancy Gap, Virginia. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of it. Right on top of the mountains, they had a beautiful little home there where they spent their retirement years, and the family would come up as often as we could to be in that beautiful place. Not only had my parents gone there, but my uncle loved it so much that he went to a town called Hillsville, which was right down the road from Fancy Gap, and he too lived there. He was so happy there that he insisted that when he died, he wanted to be buried on his property, and his family fulfilled that wish, and he was buried on his property. So I wanted to go there and worship in the little church where my parents had worshiped for about 20 years. I wanted to be there just to see what it was like. My parents had died 7 years previously, and so I was going to the place of the dead to honor their memory and to recall all the wonderful times I had had there. So I arrived on the Saturday, and the first thing I did was go up to the mountain home that they had. It's as if my car was on automatic pilot. I didn't need to take directions. I knew exactly where it was. And I parked the car and got out to stand there in front of this home. And all I felt was gloom. That charming little house that they had lost all its charm. There were no wind chimes on the porch, no porch furniture. There was a big old rusty pickup in the yard. All the care that my parents had given to that home was gone. And I looked at this plain, ordinary house, and I didn't see any traces of my parents there. So I decided then to go to my uncle's house, which was even more charming than my parents' home. He had fixed it up so beautifully. I knew exactly where it was, but I drove by because it was such a ramshackle old thing that I didn't recognize it. So I turned around and parked in the parking lot and rang the doorbell and said, you know, my uncle is buried on your property. Would it be okay if I went to the backyard and paid my respects? And the person looked at me like I had five heads. There's somebody buried back there? I said, yes. So they said, well, sure, yeah, go ahead. And I could understand their surprise. I did find Uncle Bob's tombstone. I tripped over it. It was so overgrown that you couldn't see the words. They must have wondered every time they tripped over this metal slab, this big slab, what it was. And it was his body, and I could see him perpetually spinning in his grave. It was so poorly tended to, and I felt much like Mary. I was so bereft. I had gone to see these lovely places to remember my parents and honor them, and I couldn't find them anywhere. And so I called my husband up, and I said, I'm not going to stay for Sunday morning. I'm just going to go home in the morning. And Bob, who is not only my dearest, but also he is corrective at times. And he reminded me of how many times I pounded the pulpit and said, go to church. If you're on vacation, go to church. You can give God 1 hour. You need to be in church. And he said, now how are you going to get on the road on Sunday morning when you're not in church? So I said, oh, all right, I'll go to church. And I'll probably be even more depressed there. Because, you know, there won't be any fine choir singing, and there'll be probably five people around, but I'll go. So I walked into this church, and I signed the guest register. And when I signed it, I put my maiden name, and there was a lady standing next to me. And when she saw Dawn Gibson Volpe, she said, are you related to Lewis and Celia Gibson? I said, well, yes, I am. I'm their daughter. She said, come sit with me. And during that service, when they found out that I was Lewis and Celia Gibson's daughter, the love that was poured out to me that day was phenomenal. There was a young man I met. He was about 14 or 15 years of age. And his grandmother told me this delightful story. When he was six, he and my mother were best buddies. And they would walk all around the town together. And one time my mother was very sick and she called on this lady to drive her to the emergency room. Well, the little boy was in the back of the car. And he, as they drove down, the minute she stopped the car, that little boy jumped out of the back seat, opened the front seat, took my mother's hand and walked her in. And he said to me, oh, how I loved Miss Celia. There was another man I met who had had a brain tumor. And he had gone through such horrendous times during my parents' sojourn in that church. And he said to me, your parents were such wonderful support for me. I knew they were praying for me. They gave me so much. And I am here today to bear witness to their grace. I saw Jesus. Jesus surrounded me with the love of those people. They had not been in that church for 8 years. And they were still known. Have you seen Jesus? Easter is not needed when we're at parties. Easter is not needed when we're celebrating. Easter is needed when we're in the darkened tombs and we're wondering where hope is and where Jesus is, and that's when he appears to us. Have you seen Jesus? I challenge you today, when you're in those dark times, to look for him. He is there. I left that mountain on a cloud, and drove home singing and thrilled because I had seen Jesus. Have you seen him today? That's the message of Easter. I have seen the Lord. Have you seen him too? Let us pray. Lord, we're so grateful that we see you. We've seen you today. We saw you when the sun came up. We saw you in the love of friends. We saw you in so many places. And for that one who is in darkness today, who has yet to see you, I ask that your presence would be revealed this day. In Jesus' name, amen.